Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 29 to finish at 21,703. S&P 500 up 2 at 2,428. NASDAQ Composite down 3, finishing at 6,213. Russell 2000 small and mid caps off a fraction of a point at 1,356. A yield on the 10-year Treasury down 1 basis point at 2.18%. Oil down $1.11 at $47.40 a barrel. Gold up $7.10 at $12.92.30 per ounce. Well, going back to August 7th, the Dow Industrials have given back 397 points. It's about 1.7%. The S&P 500 down just a fraction of a percentage point, and the NASDAQ led the way lower with a 2.6% move. Second quarter results for S&P 500 reporting companies have been solid, with 65% beating expectations. Guidance has largely been quite positive. The recent price action in equities has left the uptrend under pressure, but at this point it just doesn't look like anything more than a pause, at least for the big blue chip names. Small caps are having a tougher time. The Russell 2000 index of small and mid-cap companies moved just slightly into negative territory year to date. Most recent economic data suggests the U.S. economy is on better footing than it was in the first half of the year, which seems to be part of a trend for the past few years. This week, the markets are waiting to hear from Fed Chair Janet Yellen. She delivers a speech at the Jackson Hole Economic Summit on Friday. We know that the Fed has been raising rates, plans to trim holdings on its balance sheet, but last week's minutes paint a picture of a cautious Fed. European Central Bank President Mario Draghi will also speak on Friday. Don't expect any big news on central bank policy. The central bankers are scheduled to talk about economic growth, but there'll be plenty of discussions about low inflation. U.S. inflation fell to 1.4% in June based on the Fed's preferred gauge, and consumer prices in the euro area, currently at about 1.3%, they've wavered since the start of the year. Today, the Federal Reserve published a new survey providing extra detail on the labor market. The survey will be published 3 times a year. Survey says, workers see little hope for higher paychecks, and while they're increasingly searching for new jobs, they expect fewer offers to fall into their laps. Survey respondents, on average, said in July that the lowest annual salary they would accept in a new job would be $57,960. That's down from $59,660 only 4 months earlier. This measure has declined since November, with most of the changes coming from older and higher income Americans. Asked what salary they expect in job offers over the next 4 months, the average response declined to $50,790 from $54,590 when the last survey was taken in March. The survey, conducted since 2014 but published for the first time today, also showed 22.7% of respondents searching for a job in the last 4 weeks. That's up from 19% in the previous report. Young people accounted for most of the increase. The respondents saw a 22% likelihood of receiving at least one job offer in the next 4 months, but that's down from an average response of 25% 8 months ago. Trump will speak this evening at 6 p.m. about the path forward for U.S. strategy in Afghanistan and South Asia. He's expected to authorize about 4,000 more U.S. troops for counterterrorism missions as part of a new military strategy in Afghanistan. After 16 years of stuttering war in Afghanistan, the Taliban has returned to its strongest level since 2001. Trump's plan comes just days after he fired his chief strategist, Steve Bannon, a vehement voice against sending more troops to Afghanistan, and the architect of Trump's America First policy of limiting foreign engagement to situations where the U.S. can benefit directly. Tomorrow, Trump travels to Phoenix for a campaign rally at the Civic Center. Trump has said he is seriously considering a pardon for former Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who was found guilty of criminal contempt for defying a judge's order in a racial profiling case. Even without an announcement of a pardon, the visit could roil grievances and rallying cries after a week of protest in major cities across the country. Both Trump supporters and opponents are planning to demonstrate outside the rally, fueling police concerns about potential clashes. Washington Post reports the Trump administration has decided to disband the Federal Advisory Panel for the National Climate Assessment. That's a group aimed at helping policymakers and private sector officials incorporate the government's climate analysis into long-term planning. The Post said the charter for the 15-person advisory committee for the Sustained National Climate Assessment was due to expire yesterday. And on Friday, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Acting Administrator informed the committee's leader that the agency would not renew the panel. The next National Climate Assessment was due for release next year. A bit of hopeful news out of Washington today. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell insisted the government will raise the debt ceiling and avoid defaulting on its debt. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has called for Congress to pass a bill to increase the borrowing limit by the end of September. By then, the Treasury will have exhausted its so-called extraordinary measures to continue its borrowing authority and risk defaulting on the debt. Treasury Secretary has called for a clean debt ceiling increase, meaning lawmakers would not attach spending cuts or other provisions to it. Some conservatives, particularly in the House, have previously tried to pair measures to raise the debt ceiling with spending cuts. Mnuchin said the debt ceiling was his top priority when lawmakers return from recess next month. Sempra Energy has placed a bid to buy Oncor for $9.45 billion in cash and debt after majority owner Energy Future Holdings abandoned a deal to sell the Texas-based power transmission company to Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. This represents a rare blow to Buffett, who avoids bidding wars for companies and had swooped in 2 months ago to buy Oncor after Texas regulators blocked two previous attempts by Energy Future to sell it. Energy Future, which has been in bankruptcy since 2014, had initially planned to seek court approval today for the sale of Oncor to Berkshire for right at $9 billion, over opposition from its biggest creditor, hedge fund Elliott Management. Instead, Energy Future will go with Sempra because of the value of the bid, a lower breakup fee, and most importantly, support from Elliott. San Diego-based Sempra said it expected to own about 60% of a reorganized Oncor after it completes the transaction. Valued at $18.8 billion, including all debt, Energy Futures owns 80%, but Sempra plans to sell off some of that equity to other outside investors. A hearing on the revised reorganization plan and creditor support agreement set for September 6th. Total is buying Maersk oil and gas business in a $7.4 billion deal, which the French energy major said would strengthen its operations in the North Sea, boost earnings and cash flow. For Danish company A.L. Moller Maersk, the sale of Maersk oil, with reserves equivalent to about 1 billion barrels of oil, fits with a strategy of focusing on its shipping business. Fiat Chrysler shares jumped almost 7% today after Great Wall Motors confirmed it's interested in acquiring at least part of the company. The interest focuses on Fiat's Jeep and Ram brands of off-road vehicles and trucks. Reports surfaced recently that a Chinese automaker was interested in placing a bid for the brands. Great Wall confirmed that. Fiat Chrysler said in a statement it has not been approached by the Chinese automaker. Johnson & Johnson ordered by a California jury to pay $417 million to a woman who claimed she developed ovarian cancer after using the company's talc-based baby powder. The Los Angeles Superior Court jury's verdict is the largest to date in lawsuits alleging J&J failed to adequately warn consumers about the cancer risk of talc-based products. The verdict included $70 million in compensatory damages and $347 million in punitive damages. It followed five trials in Missouri State Court. Johnson & Johnson lost four of those, resulting in more than $300 million in verdicts against the company. The company says it will appeal. Today, of course, was the big solar eclipse. And it was probably a grand experience for people in the path of totality. Not such a big deal in Arizona, where we just had a partial eclipse. Hopefully you did not try to look directly at the sun unless you had special eyewear. The pictures of the eclipse were great. My favorite picture is one taken in Wyoming. It shows the moon covering about half the sun, and if you look closely, perfectly timed images show a tiny International Space Station passing right in front of the sun. That has to be one of the all-time great photo bombs. Now, many people did try to take pictures, and you may have noticed something a little bit strange. Your photos probably show the sun blown out in a blaze of light, not the crescent shape of a partial eclipse, but in some photos, a crescent did appear. It was just far from the actual sun and maybe even looked a little bit blue. The effect is called a lens flare, which happens when a camera is exposed to a bright light. In response, the lens captures some of the light as a reflection. Lens flares generally show up as little dots or circles, but during an eclipse, they appear as small crescents. If you were hoping to capture what the eclipse looked like from your location, the crescent reflections that come out as lens flares are actually a pretty good representation. They're similar to the projections you might have seen through leaves or a pinhole camera. And if you miss this eclipse or can't wait to do it again, don't worry. The next one is only 2,422 days away, April 8th, 2024. Dow Industrials up 29 at 21,703. S&P 500 up 2 at 2428. NASDAQ Composite down 3 at 6213. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.